Thank you for tuning in to the Elephants Among Us podcast. You are listening to Lou and T, where nothing is off limits. We are addressing everything, especially the elephants among us.
Hey guys, it's Lou.
And this is T.
And today we want to talk about parenting. Do you think it's such thing as a perfect parent?
No such thing as perfect parent.
Yeah, I don't think so either. We want to talk about it because there's so many people, you know, grow up hating their parents, or so many children that's in the home and they actually don't even talk to their parents, or, you know, just open up to them about a lot of things that's going on in their life because they feel like their parents don't care, you know, about what they're going through and, you know, the importance of their being. So we just want to say there's no such thing as a perfect parent. Nobody is perfect. Nothing is going to be done right, you know.
I don't think that they're assisting as a perfect parent because I don't know if you heard it growing up, but I did a lot, like mama's babies, daddy's babies. So like the mama, in terms of like the mama is always having to go above and beyond just like the duties of parenting. And not every child is the same. Like you can have... My mama got 9 kids, and I asked her all the time how she deal with all of us. And she said she had to deal with all of us differently because we're all different. We all have our different personalities where she may be stricter on, I feel like she's stricter on me than she is on my sister that's right under me, is because we are both different. The way I deal with things is not the way my sister deal with things. So just understanding that alone makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's true. No kid, you know, is the same. And I learned that very quickly because I had my first one. And then with the second one, I was expecting everything to be the same. I was going to do everything the same. And it was no. So I definitely understand that every, you know, child is different. And for the parent, you know, having to multitask and, you know, deal with children, deal with working, the different personalities out in the, you know, world, and then coming home, dealing with those, is actually a lot. You know, you have to go to work. You have to, you know, provide for your family and do, you know, so much, and then come home and deal with your children and their schooling and, you know, so much. And it leaves, you have to make time to talk to them, but it leaves like a small gap. And you have to get everything in and listen to everyone's opinion. And it's a lot of pressure, you know, having to give each kid, you know, that same amount of time without one feeling left out. And it's very hard.
Yeah, I agree. Even with having a daughter and a son, like, realizing that my daughter, when she fall, I'm like, oh, come here. But my son, when he fall, like, get back up. If you get back up again, come on. But it's still one thing that I told myself with dealing with my son is, I'm going to let him be in tune with his emotions. And it's kind of hard because we always told, like, a boy is not supposed to cry.
Right.
And at the same time, I want my son to know, if you can't cry around nobody else, you can cry around mama. Like, so it's a balance because I want him to be tough, but I still want him to be able to, if you mad, feel it. If you sad, feel it. Because if he don't feel those emotions when he's younger, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to feel him when he's older. But listening, trying to keep up with the stigmas of parenting is hard.
It is.
You know, even the way I dress my daughter, like, you ain't supposed to dress your daughter like that. And I'm like, well, we sexualize things. Adults sexualize things. People sexualize things. It's a lot with parenting.
But parenting is very, you know, important. And it's important. Like, dads have a big role too, you know, as mom, you know, with that, like you said, mama's baby, you know,
daddy's baby. Mm-hmm.
But dads actually have a, you know, an important role as well. You know, they see things, men see things differently than the way we do. So
I agree that daddies do have an important role. I lost my father at the age of 5, but I didn't realize how it affected me until I got older. Because at the age of 5, like, I really didn't know what death was. But it really affected me because since I've been old enough to date, I feel like I've always been chasing that father figure. Like, I'm looking for that daddy in a man. And when I say, I don't know how to explain looking for that daddy, but if you don't get something or address something while you're young or when the problem first occurred, you're just going to create a behavior that covers up whatever you're searching for, if that makes sense. So my behavior was, you know, dating men that I shouldn't have been, had no business dating, but looking for that father figure in them, so instead of that spouse or that equal figure. What are your intakes on dads?
I think dads are very important. You know, they're great. I feel like, you know, to be honest with you, I feel like dads love harder than the mom. And I mean, I could, you know, a lot of people's not going to agree, but I've seen, you know, so many dads go, you know, above and beyond, you know, for their children. As opposed to, you know, a mom be like, oh, well, you know, it'll be okay. You know, it'll be all right. I have, you know, two boys or whatever. And I actually, for a long time, I would never, I mean, their dad, you know, would always come pick them up and visit. But, you know, he actually wanted them to live, you know, with him. And I would always say, no, you're not taking my babies, you know. But I had to look at it, you know, as a woman, it's so many things that he'll be able to teach them, you know, that I can't. So, you know, I said, okay, you know what? I'll let you guys go, you know, past the summer. You do like a semester of school there, see how you like it and see how things go. Because they're at the age now to where, you know, they're going to need to know how to cut grass or, you know, take the trash out and, or, you know, be up and play football. You know, all that stuff that, you know, I could do. But it's different, you know, when that man is there teaching them, hey, you know what, this is how you be a man. This is how you do this. This is how you save your money. This is how you treat women. This is how you, you know, instead of it being, oh, well, you're just a woman. Or, because my son actually said to me before, women just want to control men.
Oh, wow. How old is he?
He's 12 now, but when he said this, he probably was about 9, 8, 9.
Ooh, that's deep.
Yeah. He said, oh, women just want to control men. Like, that's not true. Why do you think that? You know, but, you know, I just feel like, you know, dads are very, you know, important. I mean, women, you know, we are too. Because we, you know, of course, we're the loving, you know, nurturing, you know, all that good stuff. But I just really feel like, you know, dads are very important. So anybody who, you know, have kids and, you know, sometimes it's hard to deal with, you know, someone who you think in your mind don't do right by you or do right by your children. But if this person is actually attempting to, you know, see their child, they may not pay child support. They may not give you, you know, the things that you ask for or you need, you know, for that child out of, you know, selfishness. But I feel like it's important to, you know, not keep the child away because in the end, you know, it's hurting the child. You know, and I've seen so many people just hurt their, you know, child out of, you know, their emotions. And I feel like it's not fair to the child.
I agree. I feel like sometimes as women, especially in our society, we see like so many times in our society, we see the deadbeat dad. So we sit amongst people who say, oh, he ain't nothing and stuff like that. And I actually had to like check myself because I was 18 when I had my daughter and me and her dad didn't work out, but he was still in her life. Like he was still wanting to be present in her life. He didn't have the money that I had because I was working two jobs, not because I had to, because by choice. Mm-hmm. And then, but when he did for her, he did what he could. Mm-hmm. And so many times I think we take for granted that it's fathers out there doing exactly what they can. So what if they're not making as much money as you or providing as much as you, but the fact that he's actually there and he's physical and he's present, that means more to that meant more to my child than me going out buying her the latest name brand shoes or mm-hmm. because she's not going to remember that. But one thing that was a reality check was he took her into, she was like 3 years old, and he took her to buy some bubblegum at the bubblegum machine. And she came back and she was so happy about that bubblegum. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, you know, these are the things that kids cherish. They cherish time more than they do materialistic things. And I sit around women who complain like, well, their daddy ain't doing this, or he ain't buy this, or and stuff like that. So I'm not going to let him see them. But it's so much to being a parent than just buying stuff.
Right. Because buying stuff don't make up for time.
Right. Or the bond, you know.
Yeah. And it's a difference if you're, if the dad is saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to come, and he doesn't show. You know, that's different than, you know, get your kid hopes up. You know, but if you just like, just not letting them see him, oh, well, you couldn't buy school clothes this year, or you couldn't buy this, or you couldn't, some people take to extreme, you couldn't help on the light bill or buy groceries. I'm not going to let you see your kid. No, because it's damaging, you know,
the kid.
When I went through my divorce, and, you know, we didn't see eye to eye, it was so many times where I didn't want to see his face, but I had to, you know, think about the fact that, you know what, my kids really want to go. These are his kids. You know, I have to deal with it. I went through a lot of stuff behind, you know, the scenes of what my kids saw just so they could see their dad. I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. But at the end of the day, I have to realize, you know, that's their dad. They want to be around him. He want to be around him. Just, you know.
And it's not about me.
It's like, not, right.
And I think that's where we get it confused. Like, okay, we're not, because I'm not with the dad, I'm not going to let him see it. And then he ain't going to bring nobody around my daughter. And it's just.
Yes, I hate that.
And I had to deal with it. Like, I had to, like, really self-reflect. And was like, okay. And it dawned on me because I was sitting around a bunch of bitter baby mamas. Let's just say that. And they was just sitting here telling me, you know, the things that they go through with their baby fathers or whatever. We were just having, like, a vent circle. And I was, like, the outcast because I wasn't going through those things. Both of my kids' father, they provide, you know. Mm-hmm. They actually spend time. They're actually there. And so, I don't know. But the key thing is that all of those dads wanted to spend time with their kids. And the moms was like, no, if he not going to do this, he can't spend time. I'm like, you know, I don't want to be like that. Because I know how it feels not to have a dad. And I know the, like, it's important for a girl to have a dad just as it is important for a boy to have a dad.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you get so many deadbeat dads. Are they really deadbeat, or are we preventing them? Are we controlling them?
Yeah, like my son said, women just want to control men. Yeah, dads are very, you know, important. And sometimes, you know, we have to, that's a part of, you know, parenting. We have to put ourselves aside and, you know, just let that other person be effective in the child's life, you know, for that child to grow up and be more, you know, efficient in the world. And I think another important thing, too, is I just remember being a kid, and we didn't have a lot growing up, but I remember my parents was always honest with me, you know, and I just, and that was a big deal with me and, you know, my kid's dad. You know, he was like, well, I shield him from a lot, and it's like you exposed him to so much, or you would say things around him or this and that. And, you know, we would always, you know, bump heads on that and disagree, but I just know, you know, remember growing up. And my parents never, you know, lied to us or kept things from us to, quote, protect us or whatever. And so I just feel like, you know, be more open with your children and talk to them and be mindful of the fact that, you know, they're humans too. They're people too. And they're going to have to, you know, grow up and, you know, deal with things. And it's all about, you know, kids use their imagination a lot. So if you can actually, you know, share things with them without it being, I guess, too cringy or whatever, you know, to where they can get that image in their mind to, you know what I'm saying? So they can, if they see it or come about, you know, they can relate to it.
Right.
Like my son would say, you know, I'm not going to have a family right off. I'm going to wait because I can see the pressure of it. I see the things that you go through. So I'm not going to put myself in that situation. I like to, you know, play video games and, you know, do all this other stuff. And he realized, you know, if I have a baby, I can't spend my money on video games.
Right.
It's other stuff that I have to do. Like, he's seen me struggle. So it's like, you know, you can say, you know, one thing or try to protect your kids from certain things, but they absorb so much. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, hey, go out and do crazy stuff or drink and smoke and do all this stuff in front of your kids. But, you know, it's certain things that you should let them know about, because if you're not going to tell them, the world is going to tell them. They don't care if the world don't care if that's your kid, who kid it is, or how old they are, they're going to find out. So whether it be from you or it's going to be from the world. You want to know the correct way, or you want to know the world, you know, the way that the world, you know, right, teach them. So I just feel like, you know, being very transparent with your kid, it allows them to be more, you know, open with you about certain things. It's going to make them feel comfortable to come to you and say, hey, you know what? This is what's going on, or this is this, or this and that. It doesn't, they're not going to feel, oh, well, I feel like a failure, or I feel like I'm not doing as good, you know, as this. When, you know, you've been transparent and say, okay, you know what? I've seen my parents fail, so I'm failing. It's okay. Let me go and, you know, talk to them, you know.
Right.
You know, so they'll have that transparency, and that, you know, that door is open. Like, I talked to my boys about childbirth, and that was a big conflict with, you know, me and their dad. He feel like they were too young for that, but I feel like they wasn't. And I, you know, it wasn't a big deal.
I understand. I'm very honest with my daughter. Kind of with my son, he's two, but I kind of explain things like for a two-year-old. But my daughter, I feel like if she asks something, I want to be the first one to tell her the truth. Not necessarily on an adult level, but on the level where she can understand.
Right.
And then she get older, you know, we can progress into more advanced understanding. But like you said, I'd rather be honest with my daughter about something than the world exposing her to something, you know, just all at once. And she having to deal with that. Or even maybe feeling like I'm a liar.
Yeah.
So I believe in being transparent. And then it opens up communication, which brings us to our third topic. Generational curses can be avoided through communication and effort. Like, if you talk about the problems, you're addressing it. And that's what we're all about, addressing the elephant in the room. But you don't leave it, you know, sheltered so that it becomes, you know, a generational thing. Like, okay, right, well, mommy and daddy fought, so it's okay for me and you to fight.
Like, that becomes a norm.
Yeah, and yeah, it shouldn't be. And so I think that's something else I had to, like, tell my daughter. Like, okay, me and her dad, we used to argue and stuff all the time in front of her. And I just sat down. You know, it's not right when mommy and daddy does that. We shouldn't talk to each other like that. You don't yell at people when people are talking to you. You listen to them. And we got this thing now where she's like, I got green energy. So that means she's okay. But if she got red energy, that means she's mad. She don't want to talk. So I give her that freedom to go do what she need to do to get her red energy back to a level where she can talk. And if she got blue energy, she's sad. And sometimes she can't express what's wrong other than I got green energy, I got red energy, I got blue energy. But just the communication, okay, I know what's wrong. I know something's there, so we can, you know, try to address it together.
So. Yeah, that's good. I feel like a lot of, you know, parents don't communicate as much with their children. So I feel like that's good. You know, that's the way for her to express, you know, how she feels. And I feel like, you know, as far as generational curses, something like having a baby when you're 15, like, that could easily be, you know, prevented. You know, because you'll see people, okay, well, my mom had a baby when she was 15. My daughter and her daughter have a baby when she's 14, 15, maybe even 16. And you see it constantly, but it's like, okay, well, this happened to me. I have my daughter here. What can I do to prevent that?
Right.
You know, you can't be blind to the fact, oh, well, you know, children aren't having sex at that age. Why not? You did it.
Right.
You know, what can I do to prepare my baby for this? Or have I took the steps to talk to my child about, you know, sex and, you know, protection and all of this stuff? Because I feel like, you know, kids are a lot smarter than what we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like something like that can easily be, you know, taken care of, you know, through communication and taking the proper steps, you know, as a parent. And, you know, I feel like, you know, some of us, we get so caught up in our everyday life and the stuff that we go through, we easily miss the things that, you know, affected us as a child until, you know, something traumatic hits. And it's like, oh, well, this is happening because I went through this. And it's like, well, if we keep those things, not so much in the front, but, you know, deal with it so we can heal from it and also teach our children. Or something like, you know, poverty. If everybody, you know, a lot of people grew up around you in poverty, and you have your children here, And then you have your friend's children here. It's like, okay, well, what do we do to prevent this or to make this better? How do we stop this? And like, at what point does it stop? Are you setting your kid up, you know, with accounts? Are you making sure, you know, you're not putting anything in their name like, you know, your parents did or somebody else's parents did, you know? Are you making sure, okay, well, I'm educating my kids about credit? I had no idea about credit until I probably was about 25. Mm-hmm. No, knew nothing. Because my family always bought stuff, you know, cashed out on us because it was like, oh, well, you can't afford it, you don't need it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't get it. So I didn't know anything about credit for a long time. And I had to, like, really dig deep to, you know, learn a lot of stuff and, you know, get it started. So I automatically know, you know, I got to set my kids up. I got to let them know how important this is because it was a struggle for me.
Right.
So I just feel like, you know, so many generational curses can be broken. Or like, you know, a kid grew up being, well, as a kid being molested. Okay, what are steps are you going to take to keep your kid from being, you know, in that situation?
Right. Open communication.
Open communication. Hey, you know what? I went through this. I went through that.
And just due to, like, something that I went through as a young girl, at 4, I told my daughter, like, people are not supposed to touch you in these spots. And if they do touch you in these spots, you tell somebody. And we would go over it, like, when she get out the tub. What spots do people not touch you in? Mm-hmm. And she would point. And if they do, what do? I tell mommy or I tell daddy. And so I guess just teaching them, like you said, just that open communication. Like, you can come to me and tell me anything. But also the open communication. You said something about teen parenting. We cannot get away from the fact that at a certain age, you're going to like people. Mm-hmm. And instead of calling them managed or fast, we need to just be like, it's human nature. Like, mm-hmm. you're not being fast because you like boys. Or, you get what I'm saying? So we need to teach that open communication. Hey, I'm having these urges. Like, what do I do? You can go get on birth control. I would rather you not. My mama told me I would rather you wait. But it's birth controls. You can go to the health department and get condoms if you need to. And you don't even have to have a parent with you. But not just getting away from the fact that it's out there. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And when you fail to talk about it, I mean, that's how you get teenage pregnancy and things like that. Because you're not telling your kids that, okay, if this happened, this is the consequences.
And I think we want to talk about, too, is like, you know, children and health and, like, different habits that, you know, that can easily be, you know, picked up and, you know, not to, like, you know, single us out, but, you know, in the Black community, you know, hypertension is a big deal, you know, for us. And it's, you know, as a parent, it's like, you know, we've seen everybody, well, mostly a lot of people in our family will have, you know, high blood pressure. So it's like, what are we doing, you know, with our children to, like, you know, prevent it or, you know, making them aware of it to, you know, so that they won't be, you know, blindsided, you know, by it.
I agree with you about health and taking our kids or our children's health for granted, because when I first got in a relationship that I'm in right now, I had like this, if you're hungry, you can go to the refrigerator and get anything you want to eat, because that's how I was raised. Mm-hmm. And we had Kool-Aid, we had snacks, we had like all this unhealthy food, like just sugar. And I sent the guy I'm in a relationship with to the store to buy snacks, and he came back with apples, oranges, bananas, peaches. And me and my daughter was just looking like, what is this? Like, what is this? And he was like, well, if y'all gonna eat snacks, y'all might as well eat healthy. She too young to be eating all this. And in a way, he was right, but it still like made me mad. But I mean, you have to be aware of it, because in the long run, she's just picking up habits to do as she get older and then do for her kids. And it's not good in the long run, especially when it's stuff like it is. Children can get diabetes, you know.
That's true.
Like you said, hypertension and just things that can be prevented
Yeah, especially if your child is on a video game all day, he's just running back and forth getting like cakes and honey buns and juices and like all that stuff. Like, that's not good. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, it's, I don't know. It's not good. Well, we can always take that out. I don't fucking know. But anyway, yeah, so that's not good. Like, them going back and forth and just, you know, constantly getting, you know, unhealthy snacks. And there's so many parents, you know, we'll get food stamps and we'll do all this stuff. And our kid has never had like steak in their life or never had like veggies. Well, I'm not gonna say never had veggies, but never had it consistently.
Right.
You know, it'll be something like, oh, well, the only vegetable will be like green beans and it's only like a few of them because the kid don't like it.
Right.
You know, so it's nothing wrong with, you know, us like, you know, doing better and, you know, making better habits instead of going and spending $100 on junk food. It could be like $100 on like just fruit and vegetables or, you know, just different things or like fish or something.
Right.
And like, I don't know. And I'm just speaking because I, you know, my brother had hypertension and he didn't know he had it and his kidneys actually failed. He was, you know, just 22 years old. So imagine being 22 and doing dialysis, you know, 8 hours a night, you know, every night and you can't even go anywhere.
Right.
And, you know, everybody, my mom has it, my dad has it. So it's like, okay, well, we have these things and we know what it's doing to us. You know, it's easy to, well, I'm not going to say easy, but, you know, it's, you know, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do to prevent, like, or protect your kid from, you know, diabetes or, I mean, not diabetes, hypertension or, you know, diabetes too. Or, you know, if your mom, your grandmother died of ovarian cancers, there's nothing wrong with, you know, making sure your daughter has, you know, her annuals done, you know, properly to get it, you know,
right,
checked out, you know, just to stay on top of it or talk to them about small things like, they got the HPV, you know, vaccine or whatever. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking advantage of, you know, those things to prevent, you know, harm in the long run.
Right. And then also, green time to screen time. Making sure that your kids are outside more than they're in front of some type of screen. I know we do it a lot. And especially nowadays where we pacify our kids with, like, a phone or some type of tablet or even you can even look up YouTube on the TV. I know we can in our house, but making sure just as well as they doing it, they can go outside and play or do some type of activity to keep that, you know, cardio going or those muscles moving and just different things like that because we need it.
We of do course. Need it. Yes, we do. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking that next step as a parent, you know, to make sure your kids, you know, well, to actually, you know, set them up for better health in the future. And, you know, to create those, you know, good health habits, you know, to where it's not, you know, my son has diabetes and he had to take a shot and, you know, he's going to his friend's house and he has to do it, but the other, you know, children don't. You know, just simple things right. like that.
Right, and so many times we wait until something traumatic happens like that to try to educate. And we shouldn't be preventing it the whole time. It shouldn't take my kid getting diabetes or having high blood pressure or, like you said, being put on dialysis for me to want to wake up and say, I need to take better care of myself or better care of my other children. That's something we should be doing. In the first place.
Right. Just being mindful of, you know, things like that.
Yep.
And then the next thing that we want to talk about was, you know, the importance of overall communication. Like I said earlier, it's so easy to, you know, I'm not going to say look over your child, but, you know, be so busy with everyday life that you, you know, you kind of forget that they're, you know, not humans, but, you know, they feel that they don't feel what we feel, you know, but they, you know, have feelings too.
Wait, how many times did you hear as a kid or even like in society, like, what you going through? You pay any bills around here? You ain't going through nothing. Like, being a kid is hard too.
Get out of here, grown folks talking.
Right.
Like, what?
I need to talk to.
Exactly. Like, kids are so full of knowledge. Like, they, man. Kids are awesome.
They really are.
They surprise you every day. They keep you on your toes.
They do.
What they say, they keep you, if you have a kid, you'll forever be young. Because they keep you in the loop with things. But, like, communication with your children is important.
Very, very, very.
Something that I had read in, like, I don't know, like, an article or something like that is to have those conversations. So, and it gives you, like, questions that you can ask your kid. But one of them was, like, how was your day today? What's something that made you happy today? Did anything make you sad? What did you, simple question, like, what did you eat for lunch? You probably won't remember next week. Or you probably already got a schedule of their whole lunch thing. But just to know, or what if my daughter, one time my daughter said, well, I didn't eat nothing for lunch because I don't like macaroni and cheese. So now I know when they have macaroni and cheese at school to, you know, send her with lunch or bring lunch or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But if I hadn't never opened up that conversation, I wouldn't knew. So now my daughter going all day without eating because she don't like macaroni and cheese at school. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Certain conversations can help you gain insight. Instead, or even knowing what your kid is going through, because one little girl that my daughter said bye didn't like my daughter because, I don't know, like, just so you give them advice. Well, why don't you try to be nice to her tomorrow and see if she's nice to you? You get what I'm saying? Or if she does that, why don't you tell the teacher instead of you just now getting in the loop. Well, I didn't. My daughter said, she ain't never said nothing about this, so I know that's not like her. But if we don't have those conversations, like, we don't know.
Yeah, that's true. And even simple stuff, well, no, I'm not going to say simple. Even, like, stuff like school shopping, if you, you know, buying clothes and shoes. You know, I know it's hard, you know, being a parent and you have to budget so many things, so you have to buy stuff that, you know, fit in your budget. But actually talk to them about the things that they would want to wear and what's comfortable for them. Because I was going for so long, like, buying my son shoes and he didn't even like them. He didn't like them. It's not that he didn't like the design. He was like, he didn't like the way his feet feel.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to buy him, like, flat shoes. Like, he wore Sperry's and, like, Under Armour or something like that. But, like, a bulky shoe, he's not going to wear it at all. He said he don't like the way it feel. And if I had never, you know, talked to him, you know, like you said, I wouldn't have, you know, known that. Or let my other son, he don't like wearing, you know, jeans that's, well, the new style of jeans that's, you know, fitted.
Yeah.
He don't like it. So instead of just going out, just buying stuff, thinking, oh, well, I bought this, you should be grateful. You know, I'll just make sure, you know, they're comfortable, because if they're not comfortable, they're not going to go to school and
confident.
You know, be free. Like, my son hated his feet. He would not wear his sandals to school for nothing. And I had to have a conversation with him about his feet. And now he'll wear his feet out. Mm. So, I mean, conversation, like, talking to him and understanding how they feel and actually getting to know them, you know, it'll take little time and it'll help, you know, change a lot of stuff. You know, your kids will be happy. They'll feel like, hey, you know what? I have a voice. You know, I matter. You know, my opinion matters. You know, the way I feel, it matters. And when they do have a problem, and when they do, you know, feel sad or something, they're comfortable. They're going to come and, you know, talk to you because you listen.
Right.
You know, you make them feel as important. And, you know, all kids, I feel like, in their mind, they want to be treated as equals, like adults.
Right.
You know, I feel like they do. So if you give them that little, you know, that space to, you know, give their opinion and how they feel, like, that's major for them.
And you said a key word, importance. Like, everybody want to feel important. Like, bullies bully people because they want to feel important.
Right.
Kids hang out with the wrong crowd because that crowd make them feel important.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for us in the household to make sure we give our children that sense of importance.
Right.
Whether it's, like, my daughter know when we do laundry, like, she's supposed to get all the towels out and fold the towels. Like, that's her job. Like, that's her duty. My son, he doing little stuff around the house. But, you know, if that makes him feel important, then, hey, go get the whatever you got
to
get.
And they will. They will want to help you. When you talk to them and you're more, you know, transparent and you listen to them, you don't even have to ask them to do a lot of stuff. Like, they'll start to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And my daughter, because I'm always asking her, are you okay, and stuff like that. In return, she's constantly asking me, Mama, you okay? Or she'll walk in the room, Mama, you good?
Mm-hmm.
And so, even though that's between our relationship, it kind of made me feel okay, because I feel like if she's in society, she's going to make sure, are you okay? Are you good? To somebody else, instead of, you know, in return, being the chaotic person somebody's around.
Right. She can, you know, understand it.
Right.
Will identify. And I, you know, a lot of stuff too I want to say, and I'm not going to say I probably shouldn't, but a lot of stuff that we teach ourselves or that we learn late, I encourage everybody to please share it with your children. Like, law of attraction.
Yes.
Law of attraction, like, I remember my mom told me a while back, she said, I remember when I was a kid, she said, I had a dream. She said, I was going to, it was like a relative house or something. And anyway, this guy gave her a quarter. And she said she was on her way to the store and she just had her hand so tight, she wasn't going to, you know, lose that quarter. And she was dreaming, by the way. I don't know if I said that.
Yeah.
Oh, and she said, you know, anyway, somewhere along the dream, she woke up. And she said when she woke up out of her dream, she was holding a quarter in her hand. Wow. And she said for the longest time, she never told anybody because they thought she was going to be crazy. And when she actually did open up and, you know, started, you know, telling people, it was like, oh, well, girl, you went to sleep with that quarter in your hand.
Right.
But my mom sat down, she said, Kim, I know I pulled that quarter from that dream. She was holding it so tight that it had like the little ridges in her hand.
Wow.
And just that, I think about that all the time. And it was like, you know, I watched so many videos on law of attraction and trying to understand it and see it. What, you know, why not share that with my children? Why not share it with children that has, like, you know, the biggest, you know, imagination and the biggest connection? Why not?
Right. So they can continue to utilize it and...
Exactly. And practice it and, you know, understand it better, because as when you learn it as an adult, you constantly, you know, you're digging deep, you're learning, and you got to practice it. But when you get it as a kid, it's just like anything else that they learn. It becomes part of their daily, you know, routine, and it doesn't, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So my law of attraction story is I would write down like what I wanted to do just last year, and or the things I wanted to receive. And one of the things is that I ran into a friend. Like, this friend had been on my mind for like months. And I was on my way driving in my car. I know I had just filled my car up, but it was saying empty. And I hadn't even gone like 50 miles. So I pulled over to the gas station. I cut it off and I cut it back on to see if like the gas hand would go back where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And it did. So I started trying to drive, but it was stalling. So I cut it back off. I cut it back on. I drove into traffic, like got in to traffic back on the highway. What a friend that I had been, like, writing down, like, I want to see him. I probably wrote it down, like, for a month. Pulled up right beside me and, like, blew the horn and everything. I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. Like, you can't tell me that's a coincidence that my car just stopped and stalled. I ain't had that problem since. Mm-hmm. So, like, I believe, like, if you want something, you know, say it until you see it. Seeing is believing, so... visualize it, like speaking into existence and things like that. I'm constantly telling my daughter, like, I don't care how crazy people may think you are, do it, because some of the greatest people, I mean, Oprah, Jay-Z, people that I just look at and follow, like, they had to believe in something so far-fetched before they could see it. And then to other people, it was crazy. I think somebody said, if it's not crazy, if people don't think you're crazy when you're talking about it, dream bigger. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important, you know, to share things like that, you know, with your children.
Right.
A lot of stuff, and I mean, a lot of traditional stuff, you know, that's hindering you. And well, I'm not going to say hindering, but a lot of stuff that you believe in, don't be quick to push it off on your children either.
Right.
As far as, you know, religion and a lot of stuff, like, let them be, you know, their own individual. You know, of course, you can introduce it to them if that's something you strongly believe in, but let them make the choice on their own.
Right.
You know, so they're not, you know, torn. Like, my ex-husband is Muslim. I'm not. But we don't push, you know, certain things on our children. You know, we'll teach them. You know, a lot of things, we'll teach them, you know, show them certain things, but at the end of the day, it's going to be their choice of what they, you know, believe, and there's no pressure there.
Right. This is
so
it.
I feel like, you know.
I never knew that your ex-husband was Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my kids don't, it's a lot of stuff that, yeah. it's a lot. Yeah, you know, like, you know, since they, you know, experienced both sides, you know, it's made a, you know, a big difference. A lot of stuff they do, I don't know, like not eating meat, you know, they can eat meat, you know, certain things, or eating differently. You know, it's a challenge, but, you know.
Yeah. You're not telling them if you going to eat this meat or
no,
you're going to bed hungry.
No, you know what? I try not to do that because I know what that's like.
Yeah.
You know, I know what that's like. So I don't push, you know, anything, you know, on them. I mean, of course, if that's all it is, then you ain't got no choice. But, you know, I'm going to, you know, let it be. I'm going to talk to them about it. You know, how do you feel about this? Do you like this? You don't like that? Because I feel like if you make somebody do something they don't want to do or take part in something they don't want to enjoy, like that opens the door for other things. You know, even though it's some small as food, but it's like, you know. Like, I remember one time my kids were at my parents' house and my mom told me that they were at the table and Alex didn't want to eat his corn.
Mm-hmm.
And she told him, well, if you don't eat your corn, you're going to have to stay with me for the rest of your life. And Colin leaned over to him and said, don't worry, Alex, I'll eat your corn.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, it's different, man. You know, kids are great. Just, you know, open communication is, you know, good for them. And it just makes life easier instead of, you know, telling your kids, oh, I don't have time, or get out of my face. That's one thing, too, that, you know, really bothered me. You know, if you swear in front of your kids, you know, that's your business, whatever. But it's how you... I've seen so many parents cuss their children out like they were adults.
Yeah.
And that just hurt my heart. Like, it hurt my feelings so bad. You know, the... Well, such and such, you this, or you that, or... Get out of my face, you look just like your effing dad. You know, just certain things I feel like you shouldn't say to a kid.
And that causes a lot of emotional damage.
Mm-hmm.
And it is abuse.
Yeah. It is. So I feel like, you know, as parents, if we, you know, really look at ourselves and look at how we were brought up or how we were raised and learn to identify certain things to make a change. Because we always talk about world peace and changing, but it all starts with ourselves.
Right.
You know. So it's like, what are you going to do to make that change?
Right. Well, that concludes the importance of parenting. We hope you guys remember to communicate with your children to make healthy eating habits. And just know that no parent is perfect. Like, there's no such thing as perfect parenting. But the important thing is communication. Thank you guys for tuning in. And we hope that you listen next time. Yeah. I messed up.
No, you didn't. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. So if you're holding on to any, you know, anything harsh in your heart, you know, as far as your parents. Oh, well, my dad beat me growing up. My mama cursed me out. She hit me everywhere. Like, you know, it's up to you to make a decision if you want to, you know, stay in that, you know, that mindset or carry on that anger, you know, within. Some, you know, most people, you know, we do what we're, you know, taught.
Right.
Know? So if you can identify, you know, and make that change, like, that's great.
Right.
Nobody's perfect.
Well, that concludes, you guys.